Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because okay. The backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Look on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Welcome, everybody, inside the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium for Patriots Playbook. John Rook is still semi on vacation, on work vacation. Actually, I think he's probably on his way back right now from St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands with the Providence Friars college basketball team as he's wrapped up that tournament over the weekend and actually losing to Maryland last night, so I was happy about that, but we'll save that for another conversation. Scott Sudikoff here with you on Patriots Playbook. It is a Nitpick Tuesday, so be sure to send your emails in at webradio@patriots.com. And, of course, the phone lines are open, 508-298-0398, or toll-free at 855-PATS-500. If you want to nitpick the game on Sunday night, of course, the Patriots with the overtime victory against the Denver Broncos, 34-31. And by now, you know the story, down 24-0 at halftime, coming all the way back to grab a 31-24 lead in the fourth quarter. Peyton Manning then tying the game, going to overtime. Bill Belichick deciding to take the wind in the overtime period and kick off to the Broncos. It ends up working out, helped out by a muffed punt, we'll call it. A ball that it looked like Wes Welker could have come up and maybe made a fair catch on. Instead, he let it bounce. It hit a teammate. Patriots recovered. And then Steven Gostkowski with the short field goal to win the game for the Patriots on Sunday night, 34-31. So obviously the outcome is good for the Patriots. But there's also ways to look through the game and could be some nitpicks, I guess, to go through. It is a nitpick Tuesday. Obviously, you look at it and you fall down 24-0 at halftime, and the turnovers and the fumbles. Patriots fumbled the football, I believe, a total of 6 times in the game on Sunday night, losing 3 of them. The most concerning, I guess, across the board is Stephen Ridley fumbling the football again and then being benched for the entire game. LeGarrette Blount, once he fumbled, was benched the rest of the game. And you saw Brandon Bolden help out and do hit the job off the bench, 13 carries for 58 yards. Shane Vereen then rushed for 10 carries, 31 yards. Also, the defense in the first half, and really in the majority of the game, had a tough time against the run. That being said, they obviously did a very good job against Peyton Manning in the passing, as Manning was 19 of 36 for just 150 yards. That's only 4.2 yards per completion for Manning in the game. So they obviously shut down the passing game. Maybe the 20 mile per hour winds had something to do with that as well. But mention the rushing for Denver. No Sean Moreno, 37 carries for 224 yards. And in the first half, just a lot of open gaps up the middle, really everywhere on the Patriots. No Sean Moreno was running. And then Patriots were able to tighten things up, obviously, in the second half, only allowing the one touchdown to the Broncos in the fourth quarter in the 34-31 win. So webradio@patriots.com if you want to get your nitpicks in. And again, you can call in on the Ace Ticket hotline at 855-PATS-500. Take a look at some emails right off the bat. I have a Nitpick Tuesday email from Brian. And he said he had a question for the gang that just left the PFW crew. He says, stop using the too many rules excuse. That was Fred's stance. These guys get paid ridiculous sums of money. I believe he's talking about the referees. What we need is a weekly screw-up report, like the piece of poop refs that, I guess I could say crap, piece of crap refs did to the so-called scabs. Funny how that completely disappeared after the refs got their contract. It's almost as pathetic as Congress complaining about having to read legislation before voting on it. What do you call 10,000 refs? Oh, I'm not going to read that one either. As far as Nitpick Tuesday, you could very, very easily talk about the 6 fumbles, 3 loss. That's really the glaring problem from that game. The Pats spotted the Broncos 17 points in the first half, but somehow managed to pull out the victory after 5 fumbles and a pick by the Broncos. Also, the run D is horrendous. They've got to figure that out. Yeah, I mentioned the run D. To be fair, though, it seems that the defense was just sitting back in trying to protect the pass. A lot of 2-deep safeties, it seemed like, for most of that game. But still, 230-plus yards on the ground, 224 yards for Knowshon Moreno, is not known as an all-world back. 6.1 yards per carry, that's obviously something that will need to be worked on into the rest of this season. But I think overall the Patriots defense came up big when they needed to. There was the 17-0, the field goal that drive. Remember, they were inside the 10-yard line, and the Patriots were able to stop them defensively and force a field goal. So it very easily could have been 28-0 in halftime. That could have changed the outcome, obviously. You don't know. Can't go back and change what happened in the game. But obviously, again, a victory. Nitpicking, that's kind of the definition of nitpicking, is going through and finding negatives even though they won a game. Webradio@patriots.com if you'd like to email in with your nitpicks or other comments. And had a phone call up on the board here, but she dropped off. Had Mary Beth from Syracuse who wanted to talk, and apparently I did not get to her in enough time. But you can of course call in at 855-PATS-500. That's the toll-free number, 508-298-0398. Another email in here from Ryan. He's talking about the playoffs. He's from Houston. Says, hey, guys, long-time listener, lifelong Pats. And first off, I can't tell how great it is to be a Pats fan in Houston this year. At the beginning of the season, they were riding me because we had so many problems on offense and the Texans were supposedly Super Bowl-bound. Needless to say, 10 weeks later, I think the Texans fan base set a record for most intoxicated fans. I come in every week and just remind my boss that even this, his team is now saying we, quote, we suck. I honestly see first and second seed staying the way they are now with Denver, having a pretty easy schedule from here on out, with only challenging games being KC and the Chargers. I can only see the Pats maybe getting hung up on Baltimore, but I think we're going to start gaining momentum now. How do you feel about our chances in the playoffs, considering I see us either playing KC or maybe the Bengals? I think the Patriots, no matter who they play, if they're at home, they always have a chance to win. So obviously, if you're a second seed, you get that home game in the divisional round. And as you point out, Ryan, Kansas City or the Chargers, we'll see if Kansas City can bounce back. Now, it's 2 straight losses, losing to the Chargers on Sunday. They play the Broncos at home this coming Sunday. So a chance for them to see if they can bounce back, maybe show if they really are for real. So it's 2 straight losses now, 9-2. On the season. Playing Cincinnati, honestly, wouldn't scare me, especially at home. Obviously, the Patriots lost in Cincinnati 13-6. That game was just kind of just an awful game all the way around, and a game that the Patriots very well could have won if they just made a few extra plays. Losing to Cincinnati 13-6, yeah, concerning at the time, but I think if it came down to a playoff matchup inside Gillette Stadium, the Patriots would do kind of what they did maybe to Houston last year in the divisional round and come out and really just run over them and get the victory. Then if it comes to the Patriots going to Denver for the AFC Championship game, is the way it would be right now, 1-2 seeds. Patriots, obviously, you have a fighter's chance. I'd be a little bit more worried about that playing at Denver, but looking at the results from Sunday, obviously they have a pretty good amount of confidence heading into a game with the Broncos on the road in the playoffs. So yeah, the Patriots definitely have a good setup heading forward as the 2 seed. And then Ryan saying that maybe getting hung up on Baltimore in a couple weeks. And I think that's very true. It's a Sunday night game in Baltimore. It's definitely going to stay as a Sunday night game. I wouldn't expect that game to be flexed out of that position, because Baltimore at that point probably still going to be playing for a playoff spot. They're 5-6 right now. They're one of those 6 teams tied for that final playoff spot in the AFC, which is absolutely incredible. You have 5-6 teams fighting for that last spot. Baltimore, by that time, could be at 8-6 on the season. I don't have their schedule in front of me, but if they are to win their next 3 games, they'd be at 8-6 and obviously be fighting for a playoff spot. So I think if they're still in the playoff hunt at that point, which I think they will be either way, that'll be a tough one. That could be the one that could trip the Patriots up from here on out, as you look at playing the Texans next week. You also still have the Dolphins and the Bills on the schedule, but the Ravens game on a Sunday night is one that certainly stands out right now for the Patriots as one that could trip them up as things go out. Webradio at patriots.com if you want to email in on this Nitpick Tuesday. And the phone number is 855-PATS-500 on the Ace Ticket hotline. We have Russell in New York City sent an email. And I was thinking, some of these emails going back to the PFW guys, I'm a little bit lost on what exactly they're talking about, as I didn't hear the entire show. Well, I'm in with the season win 10-2. I think he's talking about betting, so we'll move on from that, from Russell. But also, if you want to talk to us on Twitter, you can find me there, at Sudikoff, S-U-D-I-K-O-F-F, as I'm flying solo right now in the Subway Fresh broadcast studio. As the Patriots, with the victory against the Broncos on Sunday, 34-31 in overtime, and now we'll take on the Houston Texans on Sunday, and this is a Texans team that, I guess struggling would be an understatement. They are a complete mess, as they are 2-9 this year. It's pretty amazing to think 2-9 after the couple of seasons they had and the hype that they had, losing to the Jaguars 13-6 this past week. And the Texans at home this year are 1-5. So the Patriots going to be playing in Houston on Sunday, and 1 o'clock kickoff. That will be on Sunday. So the Patriots, a chance to pick up another victory, maybe get to 9-3 on the season. And as our emailer Ryan said, probably the Ravens game is the one that definitely stands out on the schedule from here on out as being potentially the one that could trip the Patriots up. 855-PATS-500 if you want to call in to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Also, emails at webradio@patriots.com. And have producer extraordinaire Kevin behind the glass answering your calls, getting you on the air. And I know, I believe Kevin was on the field during the game on Sunday. And luckily for me, I was somewhere warm and not feeling the effects. I just need a first-hand account.
You were
of actually,
at a wrestling show. That's where you were at.
No. I was watching the game. I don't know what you're talking about. No, you're right. Yes, you caught me. But you were on the field. I want to know, how cold really was it on, how was that wind really being on the field? You could probably tell us how it really was.
Oh, it was definitely windy. The walk across the parking lot, as Andy and Paul were saying, in PFW is by far the worst, to the point where when you were walking against the wind, you were having trouble making headway trying to get from your car in here to the stadium. And that was at probably 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. As the day went, the sun went down, the temperature dropped. It gets dark here now, Sudi, at like, what, 4, 4:30? So it gets dark and cold real quick. When we were out there on the field, there was it was a constant stream of like napkins and hot dog wrappers and like a tornado of just sort of debris blowing around from the stands. I know personally, I've been here 4 years. I've been on the field for every home game since, 2010 through 13. It's by far the coldest I've been in my 4 years. The temperature at kickoff was 22. I know the wind chill was 6, and I think that went down even as the game went. And I know I was telling Paul, when I got in today, I went home and, we do the Patriots postgame show with Bertrand here. I went home and I took my feet out of my shoes and took off the 3 pairs of socks I had on, and my feet, Sudi, were just all bruised from the cold. They were just like black,
And if Andy were here right now, he'd be shuddering at feet.
I thought I was going to lose a foot. Ryan would have been crying, man. So I just sat I sat literally on the edge of my bathtub with my feet in warm water for a half an hour when I got home. Went to bed at like 4 a.m. It was miserable.
And then you were back here at what, 7?
Yeah, like 7:45 about for a Patriots Monday at 8 o'clock. So
yeah, that's the business.
It was a quick turnaround, but yeah, it was in my 4 years by far the coldest. And the flags in the top of the south end zone, which is where we keep them, there's 3 flags up there. They were whipping, relentlessly the whole game. You saw, as Paul mentioned, Brady in the end of the first half after Holiday fumbled that punt.
Right.
The Patriots had the ball first and 10. They had one play, one crack from the Denver 42. Okay. Brady couldn't reach the end zone from with the line of scrimmage at the Denver 42. He probably let the ball go at midfield or inside of midfield and could not reach the goal line. That's how strong the wind was. And this is a guy that, with no wind and perfect conditions indoors, can probably throw the ball 65 yards easy, you know, and he couldn't throw it 50. You know, he probably, that ball died, and the ball Rodgers Cromartie got hurt on at the end of the half, that ball died at like the 5, 6, 7, 8 yard line. So it wasn't even close. And so that tells you how strong it was.
And obviously, there have been plenty of cold games at Gillette Stadium and Foxborough in general. The one that stands out to me is that Titans playoff game, 03 or 04, right around that time, where I think that day it was colder. Temperature-wise, I believe it was literally 0 degrees.
But it just didn't feel as cold.
Right, there wasn't the wind. There wasn't 20-mile-per-hour wind. I remember I was there. I remember it just being cold, not windy.
Yeah,
just,
as the night went, the temperatures got into the mid-teens. And, you know, still with, like, in people are, you know, just not to get confused, there was a sustained 25-mile-an-hour wind with gusts up to, you know, 40, 45 miles an hour. So when you're at 15 degrees at 11 o'clock at night, you know, with a 25-mile-an-hour blow right in your face, I mean, it feels like it's well below zero at that point. It was not fun. I mean, I was thinking of, you know, Denver coach John Fox, who will be coming back, it looks like, to the Broncos this week shortly, hopefully in good health. He's kind of famous for having the Vaseline face. You know, his face gets all kind of red. And
Tom Coughlin, and too, right?
Tom Coughlin, yeah. The same thing. You know, I kind of understand why those guys layer that stuff on, because when I came in to do the post-game show, my face was just so dry and cracked and all, you
smart
know,
move,
windburn.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I wish I had a big vat of Vaseline.
Webradio@patriots.com if you want to email in with your nitpicks from the game on Sunday or any other thoughts or looking forward to the Houston game on Sunday as well. We, of course, can talk about the Texans. And 855-PATS-500, the Ace Ticket hotline. And let's go to the Ace Ticket hotline now. We got one of our favorite callers ready to go. It's Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. What's up, Al?
Yes, checking in from Valdosta, Georgia, fellas, where it is always 75 degrees and sunny.
Sunny and 75 always?
Pretty much.
Ah, that sounds great.
I got my shorts and a t-shirt on.
Oh.
You know, I won't go much beyond that. I don't want to get...
It's freezing in this studio, by the way, so you're just making it worse.
We lost the heat, Al. I came in yesterday morning and the heat was broken and the thermometer in the studio is 45 degrees in here.
Well, I feel your pain. All I can tell you is I don't know whether my heat works yet or not because I really haven't turned it on.
Well, here's a question before we get to football talk. At what point do you turn on your heat? How cold does it have to be?
Depending on the winter, particular winter involved, sometimes you never turn it on.
Huh.
January here is for this area is a cold month, and it will get, when I say cold, I mean it gets below 40 at night. Okay?
That's cold enough for the heat.
We'll be cold enough for the heat.
Yeah, a little bit.
So we'll see in January. I'll update you then.
All right.
But for now, shorts and a t-shirt, the heater stays off. You know, it probably will be that way through December. January is the month.
All right.
February, it gets a little warm. It gets more like December. And then by the time you get into March, you know, you're back into shorts and a t-shirt.
So what do you got? What do you got for us on this game, Patriots and Broncos? What stood out to you?
Obviously, I love the game, and there's a lot of chatter about Manning sucks, Brady's great. I think that's a little bit of an overreaction.
Agreed.
Manning's still pretty good. Yeah, Manning can play for me. Eli Manning can play for me. But yeah, Brady is just, you know, they used to say that, yeah, I guess when the Bruins won the cup a couple of years ago, it was will over skill. And sometimes I think that's the case with Brady. I think that he's just got, I mean, the guy has got a burning desire and maybe the skill isn't always there because he really can't throw a deep ball very well. Even if it isn't windy, and he's not throwing against the wind, he's not a very good deep ball thrower. But those medium range, West Coast offense type of stuff, It just doesn't matter, man. He will whip that ball in there, and I like the way he played in the second half. But really, the first half, it was just turnovers. You turn the ball over on three straight possessions to start the game. It's going to screw up your first half. But I like Tompkins. I thought Tompkins was good. And as far as a nitpick, I think the officials definitely swallowed their whistle on that call that Brady went off in the overtime. I think the game would have ended sooner in overtime if they make that call. That was clearly a mugging out in the open. And I guess, you know, it's overtime, we swallow our whistle, I guess.
The officiating seemed to go back and forth a little bit as the game went. I remember in the first half there was one of those pick type of plays, right? I believe it was Amendola brushed somebody, like a little bit of a shoulder-to-shoulder contact, nothing big, and they called pass interference. Later on in the game, it was happening with way more regularity. Even the Patriots were doing it, and there were no flags. So it seemed as if, as that game went on, it just was in general, they weren't calling some of the stuff.
I think you're right. And so I don't know if that's something that we should be concerned about or not, but I felt like, you know, the one on Tompkins in the overtime was the most glaring. And I don't blame Brady for going off at all on that at all. He's got to do that. He's got to stick up for his guy. And he did. I think Tompkins has got a lot of potential. I see him being sort of the next Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, only out of the wide receiver spot. You know, sort of the undrafted guy that really turns into something really good.
Reliable, doesn't make many mistakes.
There you go. Now, let me ask you this, fellas. What do you think we're going to do with Ridley?
Oof, that is, if any indication you get from Sunday is that he gets benched for the rest of the game after fumbling in the first quarter, I'm not going to say that he's not going to play at all going forward, but you have to think heading into Sunday, he's not going to be your lead back. Maybe it's a situation, I've heard this on the radio the last couple of days and from other people, is that now you use the next couple of weeks as a rehab for him, in the sense that maybe you're beating the Texans 28-7 in the fourth quarter, and then that's where you bring Ridley out and you put him in situations where he can carry the ball, run the ball, and hold on to it, hopefully. Situations like that, because maybe they are going to lose trust in him in the first half or in close games. That's the way it seems, especially when you can bring a guy, Brandon Bolden, right off the bench, and he can perform at a solid level, 4.5 yards per carry, and hold on to the football. And then obviously you have Shane Vereen, who is more of a pass catcher. And I think LeGarrette Blount, he fumbled once and he didn't see the field more, but I don't think his issues are as bad as Ridley right now.
I agree. I think Blount will play more. I think that Bolden is more fumble proof than either one of the other guys. He's sort of like a Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. He has that fumble proof aspect to his game, and he might start. Now, that doesn't mean that Ridley's like benched permanently, but I think for this game coming up, particularly if you want to send a message to Ridley, which I feel kind of bad for the kid. He's sort of like turning into the Tony Romo of running backs. You know, they always say he's got a lot of great stats, and look at his quarterback rating, and he's only touchdown pass. But what's his reputation?
You expect him to make a mistake.
He'll throw the ball away late, exactly,
yeah,
and cost you the game. That's his reputation, rightly or wrongly, fair or unfair, up or down. That's Tony Romo's reputation.
So, like, what is it, self-fulfilling prophecy?
It's almost like the same thing with Ridley. He fumbles and Zolak said this during the broadcast. I was listening to the Patriots broadcast and turned down the sound, with all due respect to the national crew. They never know as much about your team as your own people do. So, Zolak said it right after the fumble. He said, you know, he just seems like he picked the worst time to fumble. You look at his stats, he probably doesn't fumble any more than anybody else that's running the ball in the league, or not much more. But it seems like, though, it's the worst time, and you get these fumble sixes, and it's just, like I say, it's like a Tony Romo type effect, where it's just the Murphy's Law, you know, sort of pops up. So maybe you bench him, he's played at LSU, Houston's right around the corner, you know he's going to have family and friends at the game. This would probably send him a message to maybe bench in the first quarter or the first half. You know, and that would really, you know, because that would really piss him off, I would think. Because they know he's going to have people at the game. And he'd say to himself, hopefully, look, you know, I got to get better, or, you know, I got to hold on the ball. I'm just not going to play.
People are comparing him to Kevin Faulk, you know, back in his early days where he fumbled and was able to work his way out of that, however it may have been. Some people are maybe saying it's the elbow pads that Kevin Faulk started to wear that helped him secure the ball, you know, in his hand and in between his hand and his elbow. And maybe, it, I don't know if it's that simple, obviously, but, you know, it could be something simple as just when he makes a move, when he makes a spin move, or when he tries to get away from a tackler, he's focusing more on getting away. He's focused more on maybe breaking a tackle than ball security. Ball security should always be number one, no matter what.
He cannot do those spin moves in the hole. He cannot do those. And that is a dangerous move.
Unless he's going to have put two hands on the ball and then have it up against his, you know, chest or stomach.
There you go. It's just one of these unfortunate things. And now, in fairness to him, I believe it was Dan Connolly whiffed on a block on that play. And boom, there's somebody in the hole that he might not have been expecting to be there. He all of a sudden reacts and spins, and there goes the ball. You know, it's not much different than Nate Solder whiffed on a block and Brady fumbled. You know, I got a strip sack. So, you know, sometimes a guy whiffs on a block, but, you know, you got to be able to have the clock in your head or to be able to react or whatever. So it's just too bad. But I think they're going to have to send him a message. I think this week, if it were me, if you gave me a magic wand, I'd say bench him for the first quarter in Houston, and then depending on how the game's going, kind of filter him back in. But I don't think you just cut him off and bench him the rest of the year.
I don't think so.
I don't think that's too extreme. I really do.
No, because, I mean, he's still if you want to say, clearly still your most talented big play type of running back that you have. You're not just going to bench him and not give him a chance, because he could make a big play for you at any point. So I don't think you're just going to throw him aside.
There you go. Another question, fellas. Who do we want to win this week, Denver or Kansas City? Or do we care?
I would have to say Kansas City, because you'd want to bring Denver down to three losses. A chance to get that home field. Obviously, that puts KC in position to potentially come and take it away as well. But I think you got to at least bring Denver down to that three loss plateau, and KC might get to there later.
I'm with you all the way. Because I think, looking at Kansas City's schedule, and I don't think Kansas City's a fraud. I don't call them a fraud. I think they're a good team. They got a couple guys nicked up right now. Ollie's hurt. But they're going to make the playoffs. I really do believe that. But I think they've got a chance where if they win, even if they win this week over Denver and bring Denver down that notch, like you're saying, where we win the tiebreaker, I think Kansas City has a chance to lose a couple more games down the stretch. They've got three out of the last four on the road, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think Kansas City has more of a chance to trip up down the stretch. Hey, Al, thanks so much for the call. Well, that's two straight weeks I've gotten to talk to Big Al, and I'm sure you'll be giving John Rook a call as well in the coming days, in the coming weeks. Maybe I'll be back in the future as well. We'll get to talk again. 855-PATS-500 if you want to call on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com if you want to email in with your nitpicks. It's Patriots Playbook here on a Nitpick Tuesday. We'll be back with more after this.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place, Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 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 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Have a nitpick about this week's game?
Yeah, I was at the game.
Well, John does too.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
It's Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio.
Scott Sudikoff back with you, filling in for John Rook this afternoon on Patriots Playbook. We are coming to you from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. 855-PATS-500 if you want to call to the Ace Ticket Hotline, web radio at patriots.com. If you want to email in, you can also tweet me at Sudikoff, S-U-D-I-K-O-F-F. Send your tweets in and your emails and your calls. And if you have any nitpicks from Sunday's game, we can get to that. Also, looking forward to the game Sunday with Houston, down in Houston, against the 2-9 Texans. It's kind of unbelievable to think that they are 2-9, but they have just had all of the worst possible things seemingly happen to them this season to get them to 2-9 on the year. So that'll be the matchup on Sunday, the Patriots and the Texans. A couple of bits of news that have come across today for the Patriots. Nothing too major, but a couple things of note. A.J. Francis off the practice squad was signed by the Miami Dolphins to their active roster. And, of course, that's where the Patriots got A.J. Francis from originally, who was undrafted out of my alma mater, the University of Maryland. So near and dear to my heart. Sad to see him go to Miami, but happy to see him get on an active roster for hopefully the rest of the season. That was a truck.
That was the truck horn. When you chew your own horn that you went to Maryland,
is that a new thing?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Sort of like self-promotion, you know? I always play the truck horn when people self-promote.
You know, did you know we beat John Rook's Providence team last night that I already mentioned earlier?
I don't... Poor John. It's going to be a long flight back.
By the way, I do want his opinion on something. I'll have to get him on Twitter or Facebook about this, but there was a three-pointer that Providence got jobbed on.
You should call into the next Nitpick Tuesday a week from today after the holiday, and you should ask him about that.
No, because I have a feeling he's probably upset about it because it changed the way the end of that game
went. Well, if memory serves me right, I know the PC basketball schedule well because I have to because of John and him being in and out. They play again on Friday, so he'll probably be long. You know, that other game will be long forgotten.
That's true. Yeah, he's looking for. Hey, they're 6-1. They've had a good start. They've had a good start this season.
They got to fly all the way back to the States and probably do some homework, I would hope, and have Thanksgiving. And then they play on Black Friday, I think, in the middle of the afternoon against Fairfield.
Yeah, that's a win.
You would think so.
They'll be 7-1.
But they might be full at turkey.
That's true. That's also a good
point. So who knows?
So A.J. Francis has gone back to the Dolphins. And also a report coming out from Jason Lockenfor of CBSSports.com that the Patriots are expected to sign tight end D.J. Williams. Of course, the Patriots' tight ends have been, this past game, Rob Gronkowski, Matthew Mulligan, Michael Oumanawanui has the hurt knee from the Panthers game. So Kevin and I were discussing in the off-air show that one of two things is going to happen. Matthew Mulligan is going to be cut, or Michael Oumanawanui is going to go on the injured reserve with that knee injury if they're going to sign another tight end on D.J. Williams because they have to open up a roster spot. Williams drafted in the 5th round by the Packers in 2011. He was signed with the Jaguars this winter on September 1st after he was waived by Green Bay and then released by Jacksonville back in early this month. So Patriots look like they're bringing in another tight end, D.J. Williams, and we'll see if it's Mulligan that's gone, or Oumanawanui, who is on the injured reserve, as they have to open up a roster spot if they'd like to get D.J. Williams on the roster. Web radio at patriots.com. If you have your nitpicks from Sunday's game, have an email from Sean in New Hampshire talking about Hightower. Seems that he isn't a dynamic playmaker we expected based on his hype. It's a blessing that Collins has been fulfilling the gap recently. I think if the defense as a whole will get any better inside against the run, Hightower has to be designated to fulfill that role while Collins takes his snaps as Spikes leaves the field so Hightower can move inside stuff. This email is kind of confusing me. It's not enough punctuation. But I think he's saying that he'd rather see Collins out there instead of Hightower for the most part. He also says, I really like Logan Ryan stepping up, and with the full slate healthy next year, we would be the favorite to repeat for number 5. Oh, so Sean is already predicting the 4th Super Bowl right now in this email, and then saying next year would be the favorite to repeat for number 5 if they get all the defense back. It's It's pretty bold. It's a pretty bold statement, but I do like the confidence of Sean from New Hampshire. And Collins was a pretty good game on Sunday. I think Kevin would agree with that. He seemed to be on the field a lot in the passing situations for the Broncos. And obviously talked about Manning's numbers, only 150 yards passing. So the defense as a whole did pretty good against Manning's, passing attempts. Also have an email from Jack, who was at the game on Sunday and just thawing now. A lot to complain about in the first half, Ridley, Blunt, Solder, etc. But at what point do we realize that Danny Amendola needs to do more than just draw coverage? He needs to find ways to get open. Julian Edelman lit it up like I knew he would, and Shane Vereen will get back to form soon. But Amendola is not a guy making $1.5 million a year. He is simply just not earning his keep. What do we think? Well, Amendola obviously started the season off with that Buffalo game. He looked great. He gets hurt. He plays through it. Still looked was obviously very productive. I think the problem is that we're looking for him to be Wes Welker and have 10 catches a game and the big first down catches every time. And I understand he's not just there to draw coverage, but if he's drawing coverage and that's opening up a guy like Kenbrell Tompkins, then in essence, he is still doing a job. If he's drawing coverage and he's not open and can't make the catches, but Kenbrell Tompkins can make 6 catches, 56 yards, and Julian Edelman, 9 catches for 110 yards and 2 touchdowns. If it opens up Rob Gronkowski just a little bit more, then to me, he's still doing his job if he's drawing coverage. But I do understand you'd like to see him get open a couple of extra times, pick up, some of those key third downs that the Patriots sometimes don't seem to be able to get. This past Sunday, trying to find the third down efficiency numbers, 6 of 14 on third down for the Patriots this past Sunday against the Broncos. So number is pretty good, just under 50%. Broncos, by the way, were 9 for 18. I know that was something last week. Carolina was, I think, 7 of 11, some crazy number on third down. So it got a little bit better for the Patriots defense. 855-PATS-500, the Ace Ticket hotline. And Chester in Portland has been waiting a long time. So let's say hello to Chester. What's up?
Hey, Scott. How you doing, my man?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Feeling good to be a Patriots fan today. First of all, it was nice hearing you guys lamenting about the cold. As a transplant and a fan of the mid to late 80s Patriots, I'd go to games down 24-0 in the raw cold, and it would end 48-0. You know what I mean? So at least we won this thing.
It's easier when they're a better team. I agree.
Man, I'll tell you, but I have those memories of old, seeing that raw, windy weather. And, to me, man, this team is a gritty team. My unsung hero of this football game is Ryan Allen. That punt at the end was just perfectly set up for, just to muddle that coverage. Error on Welker or not, I mean, we got to give some credit to this young kicker, and there was a remark in Bill Belichick's postgame about the fact that a left-footed kicker might make a difference. Frankly, I think it might. Even just the spin off the ball and it's just seeing that play over and over again. Props to Nate Ebner. Now I know why we bring a rugby guy in there. He can get into the scrum and have a nose for the football. I'm just feeling really good about where this team is going in terms of ramping up. If there's any nitpick here, I think everybody's wondering where the run defense was. But, to me, I'm wondering if this was an overt plan to take the ball out of Peyton Manning's hands, make that running game extremely enticing. Going down big at halftime does nothing more than lend to that. But, hindsight, what a brilliant situation to just get that ball out of Peyton's hands. I know he's had a rough history with us as it is, but, I think all of us were worried just to see Peyton and Demaryius Thomas lighting us up like Christmas trees as we, head into the holiday season. As far as Ridley, guys, I'm done with him. I think it's time to send him down Patrick Chung Highway. He looks good. He has flashy stats, but he keeps killing us in critical situations. I don't think we cut ties now. I know we got to use him here. I know there's some upside, but if it's up to me, he only gets out there when we got a comfortable lead. Zoe hit it perfectly. He just takes the wind out of the momentum, out of the sails. And, I'm fed up. And as a fan, I know I'm not in the minority here. This team has prided itself on being clutch, on situational football. And this kid, he's making the same mistake doing that spin move in the hole, just like Al was just saying. He has been criticized year after year for turning his back to that damn line. And then here we are again, making our first drive to make a statement in this football game, and he coughs the ball up. Conversely, and I'm sorry to rant, but You know, LeGarrette Blount needs to be cut some slack. He got a huge helmet-to-helmet hit on that play. And, you know, for us to be comparing apples to apples in terms of he and Ridd being benched, I think he may have been a little woozy after that hit. And, you know, I've always been a proponent. Look, I'm an Oregon guy now. I've seen him through college, and I know that he's got something to prove. I love his grit. But as far as comparing Ridley and Blount, I just think it's two separate situations. I'm looking at patterns here. I work in management for a living, and managing patterns is a big part of how I operate. Ridley's patterns, to me, have rendered him as a liability. And, you know, that's my nitpick today is, you know, where do we go with Ridley, and is our run defense as bad as it truly seems? But I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
All right. Thanks so much for the call, Chester.
Yeah, you guys take it easy, man.
And we'll start with Vereen. I mean, I don't think I'm, you know, going to jump on the get rid of him now type of train. I think kind of did say at Chester that maybe not have been a game unless it's already in, you know, not in doubt anymore. It's the result has been, you know what's coming. You know, a 28-3 game in the fourth quarter. I think the good test would be if you're going to bench him and you do play him in the third or fourth quarter and it's a 28-3 game, he comes out and he fumbles again in that situation, where it's not so much as a big pressure situation, that would probably worry me even more. At that point, that's where he should be relaxed, be, you know, thinking straight, have the ball secure, make the easy play, just hold on to the football. A situation like that would be a situation where you're just trying to run the clock out and make the safe play. If he comes out and fumbles then that's obviously another red flag. I know, again, this fumble on Sunday, there's been the missed block and being hit maybe sooner than he had thought, but I don't look at that as really as an excuse. I mean, you still should be holding onto the football securely enough to hold on, you know, to keep it. As I said a couple of minutes ago, the number one priority for a running back, no matter what, should be holding onto the football. And I know, obviously, you want to get as many yards as you can and make a big play, but number one is hold onto the football. Yeah, you might be able to run 20 yards, but if you don't have the football with you, it's not going to matter. So I think the ball security thing, yeah, and spinning and putting his back to the line a lot of times has happened. But I'm not ready to throw him out and cut him or just bench him altogether. I think he can be a big player at certain points. He could break a run at a key point at some time. Just like he's fumbled at a key point, he could very much break one for a 60-yard touchdown at a key point. And we talked about earlier that his fumbles seem to happen at the worst possible time. It was Al who compared him to Tony Romo in the sense that Romo puts up great numbers. He's the prototypical fantasy quarterback. If he's on your fantasy team, for the most part, you do pretty well at the quarterback position. It's just when he throws that interception, it's in such a big situation, whether it's the playoffs or a meaningful late game situation. So on the fantasy side, you're like, oh, that's one interception, doesn't affect me that much. But in real football, it matters, and that's kind of Tony Romo. So Stephen Ridley fumbles when they're driving against the Broncos on Sunday. It turns into a 60-yard fumble recovery touchdown the other way. He sits the rest of the way. So it just happens, seems to have happened at the wrong time the last couple of weeks, the last two fumbles in a row for Ridley. But again, I'm not ready to get rid of him. I think my guess at the plan is going to be he'll be at the end of the depth chart this coming Sunday against the Texans. He'll get his carries in situations late if the game is already out of reach, one way or the other. Hopefully it won't be out of the reach, you know, for the Patriots. It'll be a situation where they have a big lead. They'll be able to put Ridley out there and rehabilitate him, gain his confidence back. So that is my thoughts on that. Nitpick Tuesday, webradio at patriots.com. Looking back at another email, and says Yo Rook, but I'm not Rook. I'm Sudi. What an amazing comeback win to knock out Denver in Peyton's agenda. This team is special. They are clutch and in good position to clinch a bye. Nitpick, probably the unanimous pick, Ridley. His fumble issues are really killing the offense. Basically shuts off a run game. He's got to deliver down the stretch. We need him in the postseason. Also, it was pretty sweet to beat Wes Welker, the quote free man, since he's not playing under Coach B. So here's an email, obviously pointing out the nitpick of Ridley and saying that it's helping to kill the offense, shuts off the run game, but also noting that the Patriots probably need him down the stretch, that he is a dynamic runner who can make a big play. LeGarrette Blount is more of just head down, straight up the middle, 5 yard chunks, 5 yard, you know, right up the middle. But he's not a guy for the, he has broken long runs before, but he's not an every down back. He also doesn't catch the ball out of the backfield. Shane Vereen, obviously, is that receiving running back that can do a lot. I believe it, and last, on Sunday, it was the second straight week where they ran that wheel route to the, on your near sideline on your TV screen, where it looked as if he was open both times and couldn't catch it because of that cast. That's what Chris Collinsworth was talking about again, the cast. But a couple of times he could have had big receiving touchdown plays in the Carolina game, in the Denver game, but still he's doing a pretty good job in his couple of weeks back. See his numbers. Yeah, it's 8 catches on Sunday, 60 yards, but only ran the ball for 31 yards on 10 carries. So, Vereen obviously can carry the ball. Brandon Bolden seems to be probably the guy, if you're going to sit Ridley, is going to be the guy that's going to be your lead back. 4.5 yards per carry. You can live with that, obviously. 13 carries, 58 yards, had a touchdown against the Broncos. So my thought will be that Bolden probably be the guy that's the lead back on Sunday. Very well could be completely wrong with that. Ridley could be right back out there. Belichick could just say, hey, I benched you for the rest of that game. We're putting you back out there. See what you can do. Web radio at patriots.com on a Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots Playbook. Email from Brian in Essex, Vermont. I personally don't think that fumbling every now and again is a huge problem. My issue with Ridley is that he fumbles at extremely key points, and that is what we've talked about, obviously, already. That ended up being momentum swingers. That's a serious issue. I'm not sure how they bring him back slowly, because you have to put him in high-pressure situations for him to work through whatever issue he has in those situations. They could bench or play him. It doesn't really change much unless they're playing him when the games are close, and who wants to risk that at this point? So that goes against my theory of giving him a chance to run the football in situations where the pressure isn't as high. Obviously, it's tough for us to know if it's just a mental thing where it's when it's in a tough situation, in a big situation, that's where he just fumbles the football, or if it's mechanically something. He's just not securing the football right. When he's making a spin move, he needs to make sure that football is high and tight, and he's squeezing the rock and making sure it doesn't slip out from his hands, from his grip. And again, it goes back to my whole idea of number one focus should just be holding on to the football at all costs. Maybe even still doing a spin move, just get two hands on the ball and worry about that than more so than getting the extra 2, 3, 5 yards, depending upon the situation. Obviously, if it's fourth down and you need those yards no matter what, then yeah, you sell out and maybe the football will pop out at that point, but you do everything you can to get that yardage. Web radio at patriots.com. is the email if you want to check in, and 855-PATS-500. Let's grab one more email before we take a break here on Patriots Playbook. We have Drew from Bowie, Maryland. I know last week, I'm guessing it was Drew who emailed in last week. I believe it was Fred who called it Bowie, Maryland, like David Bowie, but it's Bowie, Maryland, and that's me being from University of Maryland. I know that's Bowie, Maryland. Obviously, Brady can read a defense better than I, but he often throws deep on third and short. I actually suggested to a few buddies that the Pats take the win instead of the ball as regulation ended. They looked to me as like I had three heads. I liked Belichick's decision there based on Brady's throw at the end of the half. Admittedly, I liked going for it on our 28 against the Colts a few years back. That was 4th and 2, remember? As a side note, I think if I ever get into legal trouble, I want Luke Kuechly's people to represent me. I want the primary witness to disappear 2 weeks in a row. Huh. Anyways, his point about Brady can read a defense better than I, obviously, and you and I and everybody, and throwing deep on third and short. Still, though, third and short, especially this goes back to the Carolina game where they had that third and short and passed the football instead of just running when LeGarrette Blount had been running very well on that drive. Still, third and short, I'd like to see, you should be able to run the football and pick up a 3rd and 1 at any level of football, or at least if you are a good football team at any level in the NFL, in college, high school, whatever it is. Hopefully you can pick up 1 yard to gain a first down. And Belichick's decision to take the wind, it obviously makes sense. It made sense. It worked out. And again, if it hadn't worked out, if Manning went down the field and scored the winning touchdown right off the bat, Obviously, everyone would be coming out. It'd be the opposite. Belichick isn't a genius. What is he doing? He's overthinking things. Personally, I would not have had the cojones to make that type of call. Obviously, I'm not an NFL head coach. Thinking about NFL coaches in general, how many coaches in the NFL would have made that decision? I think many of them would have thought about it and been like, this is maybe the right play, but I'm not going to risk it. And I don't think there are many coaches who have the status like Belichick and have the, you know, the resume to go, you know what, this is the right decision, and if it backfires, then so be it. I don't think there are many coaches that would make the type of decision that Belichick did. And actually, that's a good question that if you want to email in, if you think there are any other coaches who would make that decision and take the wind instead of the football in overtime. I know some of you might point out Marty Morningweg. That got him fired 10 years ago, and that was a different situation where the old overtime rules, and that was stupid. If it was a field goal can win the game, then I don't think Belichick would have given Manning the football. He would have taken it. But I think with the new rules and the 20-mile-per-hour winds, and we saw how the ball was being thrown into the wind at most points, that he was pretty confident that his defense at the very least could hold the Broncos. I don't know if I said Colts a few times. Hold the Broncos to a field goal and not give up the game-winning touchdown there. So how many other coaches would have made that decision that Bill Belichick did? And I'd have to say it's maybe two, maybe three at most. Because I'd have to think there are a lot of coaches who don't have the resume and don't have the time served, as we'll call it, or the goodwill to have made that decision. If it backfires, they're going to be fired immediately. So a little bit different situation. So web radio at patriots.com if you want to weigh in on that issue. 855-PATS-500 if you would like to call in. And that's the Ace Ticket Hotline. We're inside the Subway Fresh broadcast studio at Gillette Stadium. This is Patriots Playbook. More to come after this.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card,
you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether the sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Welcome back to Patriots Playbook on a Nitpick Tuesday, coming at you from the Subway Fresh broadcast studio inside a cold Gillette Stadium, a cold broadcast studio. I took the jacket off only because it's just uncomfortable to wear a winter jacket.
Is it over 60 in here? Look at that thermometer next to you.
61 degrees.
It's going up, Sudi.
Oh, it's getting, well, that's because I'm in here.
Beats 45.
It's because I'm here.
It's so hot.
So hot. What accent is that? Cut that and throw that out.
Oh, hot. Want to touch the hiney.
That Veronica Vaughn is one fine piece of... All right, moving on. Webradio at patriots.com if you want to email into the show, 855-PATS-500.
If... I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
855-PATS-500 if you want to call in. You can also find me on Twitter at Sudikoff. We have... couple of more nitpick emails. Let's get to one right now. It comes from Steven Robertson in Killeen, Texas.
Killeen, yeah. Steven Killeen's a regular on this show.
Well, Killeen's where he's from. Robertson's his last name, but whatever.
We call him Steve in Killeen.
Oh, I thought you said Steven Killeen.
Kind of rhymes.
I thought you said Steven Killeen. Got it. I understand now. I'm going to read the email. Glad for the win, but the Ridley factor is killing us. Seen that a lot already. Simple drill for him since he tends to carry the ball like a loaf of bread. I propose the Pats have him literally carry a loaf of bread in practice, and if it gets dented or damaged in any way, you leave him as your third option until he can master that skill. It may seem like a silly, yeah, it's a very silly option, but as a ball carrier, you have to always expect someone to be near you and attempting to get the ball. That is a good point, obviously. Ridley has a bad habit of having the ball away from his body and going into traffic with only one arm protecting the ball. That is a good point. I don't know if the whole loaf of bread, I'm going to guess that's not going to happen. It's a very interesting idea. So you're saying he would hold a loaf of bread very loose and just it wouldn't get dented. If you hold a loaf of bread like you would a football, you'd squash it. So I guess your point is that he holds the football like a loaf of bread, very loose and easy as to not squish the bread. So the opposite of what you'd like to do. I guess it would be funny to see him walking around with a loaf of bread. I have a feeling that won't be on the agenda this week. And he says keep up the great work, and he says, does this mean that Rook's fill-ins are the junior broadcasters? I don't know. What does that mean?
So Rook's Twitter handle?
Oh yeah. Okay.
Is JR Broadcaster. So right. I kind of came up with or Eric or whoever was with me. We were like, "Oh, you're a junior broadcaster. Get it? Ha ha." And he took offense to it because he's old and crotchety sometimes.
Oh, okay.
So
and I'm young and not crotchety.
Am I younger than you even?
I mean,
we're the same age.
We're the same class of school, so
yeah. So we're technically you and I are the junior broadcasters, I guess. In theory.
Let's take this place over. 855-PATS-500. Got a couple of phone calls up on the board. Let's first go out to St. Louis, Missouri, and talk to Blake. What's up, Blake?
Hey, how you doing, sir?
I'm good.
Oh, man, I'm doing great. I respect you guys' show, and I'm greatly a Patriots fan. And I just wanted to make a comment on as far as the conversation about Coach Belichick, the decision he made about, you know, of course,
taking the wind.
Yeah, making the wind. I believe it was a combination of just a small percentage of common sense and about 75% of courage and confidence in his defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, I believe firmly, you know, to make a bold decision like that kind of boosts the confidence of the defense. I think it's gonna be beneficial down the line as far as getting in, you know, when we go to the playoffs.
It's a very good point. I mean, obviously Belichick was showing a lot of confidence that his defense at the very least could hold Peyton Manning and the Broncos to a field goal and not have him march down the field. And again, I mean, I know that the rushing numbers against the defense were up there, but evening it out with the passing defense, it was an okay performance. It was a middle-of-the-road average performance, and that's probably where the Patriots defense stacks up in the NFL right now, middle of the pack. So Belichick, yeah, confidence in his defense. As you said, Blake, just common sense with the wind. And also I think, and it just goes to me that, you know, Belichick is just confident in his decisions in general. I mean, when he makes a decision, it's just he makes a decision and that's it. No second guessing. He goes for it. When there maybe have been 30 other coaches who would think, oh, this might be the right idea, but no, I'm going to play it safe. You know, he's going to make the decision because he's obviously one of the best coaches of all time. Where he is, top five, top three, number one, that's up for a ton of debate, but he's confident in his decisions.
Of course. Could I just make one shout out? I just want to tell everyone in St. Louis that Tom Brady is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Oh yeah, that is definitely true. Why? What in St. Louis? What do they think?
Oh man, they talk bad about him. You know, everywhere I go,
they're still bitter about 12 years ago
Super Bowl and the great 1 minute left and John Madden screaming that the Patriots should shoot for overtime, but Tom Brady showed his greatness in this team effort to make the ball go down the field and kick the winning field goal.
Oh yeah, that was that'll be a moment we'll never forget. Thanks for the call, Blake.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, I guess people in St. Louis probably a little, especially now with the Red Sox having beaten the Cardinals twice in the World Series in the last 10 years, and the Super Bowl 36. St. Louis fans just aren't very fond of this area. Webradio@patriots.com. Have a nitpick from Kat in Chicago, and it's a nitpick of Big Al. Well, this happens. This seems to happen when I'm here, too. Just people, probably happens all the time. Big Al being called out as well. Terrible taste in quarterbacks. First Tebow and now Eli Manning. You would take Eli as a quarterback. Manning, who threw 12 interceptions in 5 games to start the year. Big Al, I love you, man, but you have literally the worst gauge of QB talent on the planet. Sorry, but it's the truth. That's from Kat in Chicago. That is a harsh, harsh email from Kat in Chicago. Although Tebow, Eli Manning, I mean, I think obviously everyone would take probably Eli Manning over Tebow, but hey, it's Big Al's opinion. He can have his opinion. 855-PATS-500, webradio at patriots.com. This is Patriots Playbook on a Nitpick Tuesday. Scott Sudikoff filling in for John Rook, who I believe will be back tomorrow. He'll be back tomorrow as he was down in the Virgin Islands in St. Thomas and watching some basketball, working some basketball games, and I would assume sitting out in the sun as well for a good 3-4 days. Speaking of John Rook and the Providence College radio broadcaster, let's talk to Xavier, who is in Providence. What's up, Xavier?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, good.
I just want to start off with one of my nitpicks. And one of my nitpicks was that overtime decision that Bill Belichick decided to take the win. And I was outside in my backyard. You know, I'm not no quarterback, nor am I Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really, it's really cold. It was before the game even started. I was outside trying to throw the ball, and it was like really hard to hold onto the ball, and it was really, really cold outside. And when that overturn decision, I was kind of confused whether or not they were going to receive it or not. And it's surprising that he took the win, because according to ESPN, Trent Dilfer, Tom Brady's numbers were actually better throwing into the win than actually going with the win. But it's surprising that, you know, he didn't give Brady the ball to go down the field and try to score a touchdown.
Yeah,
That's one of my nitpicks.
That's definitely a good point, because the possession before, when Manning tied the game, he was going into the win. Now, granted, they worked their way down the field. It wasn't as if there was a big play, a couple of big plays. They worked their way down the field using the running game, using short passes. So that kind of doesn't really put the win into effect. Again, obviously, Manning could have done the exact same thing in overtime, potentially. And then Brady, as correct as well, in the third quarter, that's Patriots. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the Patriots were going against the wind in the third quarter when they scored, you know, the first 21 points that they got back into that game. So it did leave you wondering. And I'd just gotten into a bar to watch the fourth quarter of the game live, and everyone in the bar was absolutely freaking out. Just, you know, don't they know that they're going to lose if they get a touchdown and all this? And don't they know that Manning just scored heading down against the wind? And I think, as the previous caller stated, that Belichick just, he was playing the odds that the wind is 20 miles per hour. He has enough confidence in his defense to make the play when necessary. And then he was going to force the issue and make Manning work into that wind where it's just not going to be as easy. His defense can change up a bit, make the right plays, and they did. They stopped him right. They got across the 50, and then the defense stepped up and made the big plays when necessary. So, to me, it's just a coach who has a lot of confidence in him in his decisions to make that call. And again, the question I'm putting out there is: are there any other coaches who would make that decision in that exact same scenario? Put someone else on the Patriots sideline. Is there another coach who makes that decision?
I don't think there is. I mean, Bill Belichick is a great coach, you know, Hall of Fame coach, and I think he doesn't. The decision to go against the, you know, with a win, I just think that, you know, it didn't really have an effect in the game, because it ultimately came down to a special teams play, you know, a fluke play.
Well, but
it may or may not have an effect, though. But it was still. I think it was a great decision. At first, before, you know, I just think it wasn't. I was just confused sitting there watching, looking at the TV. I said, "What is he doing?" And like, and as I watched ESPN after the game was over, Trent Dilfer said that, you know, his numbers, Brady's numbers were better going against the win. So I don't know why he would do that.
I mean, if you were going to ask me to bet as that was happening, there's no way I would have bet that he would take the win. I'd say, "Oh, it's a possibility," but I don't think so. So I mean, I think he probably surprised just about everybody with that decision, and even his team. If you saw when they won the toss, they they thought they had no idea. They looked back to the sideline trying to figure it out. But Xavier, you said that, but in essence, the decision did affect the outcome of the game. Because remember, Patriots punting, well, Patriots were punting with the wind. So maybe it didn't, I guess. I'm trying to think about this. Maybe the punt that Welker sort of misjudged and it fell short. I mean, I still think the ball gets up there and the wind is blowing whichever direction, it's still going to affect the ball. And so my guess is it still kind of affected that punt and Welker just let it bounce, and it was a bad bounce for the Broncos and obviously a good bounce for the Patriots. So yeah, the decision worked out.
And who said that West Welker doesn't help New England? Huh. I think go for that gift. So it was just awesome. That was the way that game ended.
Yeah, and
my other nitpick is the obvious is
Ridley.
Stephen Ridley fumble. But I mean, they also had other turnovers that didn't have to do with Stephen Ridley. And you can't win football games turning the ball over, especially in this league. And besides that, the offensive line too, it was just, they couldn't contain Vaughn Miller. It was very, very disappointing knowing that, you know, Starnecchia, one of the great offensive line coaches, wasn't able to put them together to block, you know, Vaughn Miller. He's a very talented player, but I just think that, you know, that's my other nitpick. The offensive line in the first half, you know, it's very, very awful.
All right, Xavier. Thanks so much for the call.
No problem. And thanks for filling in for Mr. Rookie.
I'll do it. I'll do it every time if I need to. I'm always here. I'm always here at the service of Patriots.com.
All right. Thank you so much. No problem.
Talk to you later, Xavier. Yeah, obviously, Xavier makes the point that Ridley's fumble was one of a couple of turnovers that the Patriots had in that first quarter, or first half, and you know, Brady fumbled and Blunt fumbled. And so in general, the turnovers are something that you would obviously want to shore up as things go. I mean, I was never a high-level football player who played a game in the freezing cold. I still have to think, in a game like that, even for NFL players, it's hard to hold on to that ball. That's probably just, I can't even describe. I'm just assuming it just cannot be easy to hold on to the ball when it's that cold and the situation right on the field there with the wind and the cold and your hands. And they're wearing gloves, I know, but I'm sure their hands are cold and everything like that. So I look at it as they had a couple of extra fumbles, probably potentially due to the situation and the weather. We'll see how it happens. If they go down to Houston on Sunday and start fumbling again, 2, 3, 4 times again, then that's more of a problem, because obviously Houston, warmer weather, and they have a dome. 855-PATS-500, webradio@patriots.com. It's a Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots Playbook. If you have nitpicks from the game on Sunday against the Broncos, or you can look forward to the Houston Texans game on Sunday, 855-PATS-500. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We have Andrew in Buffalo. What's going on, Andrew?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
That's good. Yeah, I'm a little frustrated with Stephen Ridley. This fumble is an issue all season, but I mean, I think we're gonna have a bit of a problem because, you know, further down the year, you know, in the playoffs, we're going to need a strong running game in the cold weather. I don't think we want to just be a passing team, and it's going to hurt us because I don't think there's anyone as explosive as Ridley. So I'm just hoping he can get his act together. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree that it's, you know, we've had a couple people say that just cast him aside, bench him, don't play him, and a couple people say he's the dynamic runner, that he's the one real dynamic guy that you have that could break a 60-yard run, and he should be your lead back, is the way it looks, is the talent wise that he should be the guy who gets 20 to 30 carries a game and gets 100 yards a game. And then, yeah, maybe he checks out on third down for Shane Vereen, and maybe he checks out for LeGarrette Blount in short yardage situations, but still, that is a lead back. That's a guy that's going to get the bulk of your yardage. He's not going to be Adrian Peterson, who's going to, you know, run all over the place and do everything for you, but he obviously has the talent to be a top guy. So to me, it's, you can't throw him aside. You can't bench him completely. Maybe you benched him for one game, but.
Okay, because I was going to ask you, do you see them benching him next week? I mean, it is you.
I don't think he'll be benched the entire game, in essence. I think maybe he'll get down on the depth chart. maybe him and Brandon Bolden switch spots on the depth chart. So you saw Brandon Bolden was what the third running back in on Sunday after Blunt was in. I think maybe they switch spots, and then you see Bolden get the start, Blunt get the carries that he normally does, and then maybe Vereen gets worked in on a drive here and there, or gets worked in later in the game if it's a game that's out of reach, which obviously you'd love to see on Sunday playing a 2-9 team, but you don't know that for sure. It might be 20-17 in the fourth quarter. So it's hard really just to plan ahead like that.
Okay. One more question. I'm going to let you go. I've seen Logan Ryan's been playing. It's really impressive because he seemed to have that playmaking aggressive ability, and I really like it. But I'm just wondering. I forgot what round he was selected. Can you tell me what it was again?
Off the top of my head, I can't, but I can probably quickly find it for you. Logan Ryan, out of one of the three draft picks this year from Rutgers. I know is the starting defensive backs from this past game were three of the four from Rutgers, which is pretty incredible with McCourty and Daron Harmon. Trying to find where Ryan was drafted. I'm at the mercy of this computer. Round three, pick 83 overall.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a high status right there. And comes in and
we getting our money's worth.
You're right. He looked good. Had the interception that helped set things up. I believe that led to the field goal that the Patriots got on the comeback trail. So he's done his job. And I always want. Now I'm wondering how much of having three Rutgers guys. You had Harmon, McCourty, Ryan playing together. How much just being teammates in the past are helping them now, just know where you,
well,
you know.
They said that having those guys together, the fact that they know the system a little bit, it will be easier for them to transition to the NFL, and I think that's working out right now. The fact that McCourty, you know, got a few years on those guys, and they can have to actually relate to each other and work themselves through it, like, in the NFL. I think that was pretty good that they're from the same school.
Yeah, it's just interesting, the influx of Rutgers Knights to the Rutgers Scarlet Knights into the Patriots lineup, and it's working out. It's working out right now, and McCourty's had a pretty good season as well, and Logan Ryan, obviously, in his rookie season, doing a couple big plays.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
All right, Andrew. Thanks for the call. 855-PATS-500, web radio at patriots.com. This is Patriots Playbook. Scott Sudikoff filling in for John Rook. Patriots, of course, beat the Broncos on Sunday, 34-31. They'll play down in Houston against the Texans on Sunday afternoon, the 2-9 Houston Texans. We'll grab one more email before we take our final break of the afternoon. It's Stephen Colleen again. He says, quick reminder, Pats against the Bears in 2010, the snow and wind and Brady lit it up in the air. I do remember that game. Irony was the Metrodome roof collapsed in Minnesota. And Dave Damashek quipped that the NFL should make the Patriots play all their games there for the rest of the season because the weather did not matter. Yeah, I do remember that game, and Brady in the wind and the snow just had a ridiculous game. So it does show that Brady can have great games in the weather. We've seen that entire career. We've seen playoff games. We've seen throughout his career that he can have. What was it? The Tennessee. There was a Tennessee regular season game where they won 56-0, and that was a snow covered field. If I remember correctly, and Randy Moss had, I don't know, three or four touchdowns. It was just an absolute shellacking, and that was in the snow. So, yeah, we know that we definitely have seen Tom Brady have good games in the weather and the snow. And so it's even when it comes down to the playoffs, it's a key thing looking toward the future and playoff games in January heading into February. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 855-PATS-500. If you want to call into the Ace Ticket Hotline, Scott Sudikoff here with you for about another 30 minutes. We've got producer extraordinaire Kevin Collins behind the glass doing everything he can to make me sound awesome on the air. So we'll take our final break of Patriots Playbook here today on Tuesday. When we come back, more phone calls, more emails on patriots.com.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL.
Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Welcome back inside the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studio or inside Gillette Stadium. It is 61 degrees still in our broadcast.
Time and temperature update.
And it's 3:38 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Standard Time now, not Daylight Time, whatever it's called, whatever. Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com, 855-PATS-500 if you want to call into the Ace Ticket Hotline in our final 20 minutes or so, or still can email in, of course, at webradio@patriots.com. Scott Sudikoff filling in for John Rook one final time, at least during his trip down to the Virgin Islands in the sun, the Paradise Jam.
I was going to say, don't say that. You might be back in.
Well, that's what I said. Right, I amended what I said. Final time during this little stint.
No need to limit yourself.
At the Paradise Jam.
Sky's the limit for you, Sudi.
And I know we keep bringing up. I bring up college basketball a little bit, obviously, because John is down with Providence. But how about your UMass Minutemen?
Ugh.
Is that a?
Don't like the UMass Minutemen, Sudi.
What, you're a graduate.
Travis and I have this bet going, and if they don't make the tournament, I win a whole lot of beer, so I'm not looking too good right now.
Oh, so...
I won. He thought they were going to make it last year, so he made this bet at the start of the year, and I won the bet, so, you know, I won the so-called wages at the end, and then he decided to offer a double or nothing bet this year, which I thought about for about 2 months, and then regrettably accepted at this point. I think I'm pretty much screwed.
Okay, so you are technically a fan, but now you're just like, oh great, now it's gonna come back to bite. My negativity is gonna come back.
I've never bought into the coach who dates back to when I was in school there.
Derek
Kellogg.
That
has something to do with it.
Huh. Well, they're what, 6-7-0 to start the year.
6-0.
Ranked for the first time since
1998. We were 13.
That's incredible.
Back to the days of Larry Kettner and all those guys.
That's incredible. Really. I mean, I know they haven't made the tournament since then or 99.
So hopefully they lose some games really soon.
Hopefully.
Knock on wood.
Hopefully they lose some games really soon. Webradio@patriots.com. An email from Drew from Bowie, Maryland. I asked the question, are there any other coaches who make the decision that Bill Belichick did? He says Chip Kelly would also make the decision, assuming he trusted his defense. Maybe not with the Eagles' current defense, but he makes the same call. It's an interesting, you know, first year in the NFL, he'd make that call. I mean, it's possible. And then Drew adds in, I too graduated from the University of Maryland. Go Terps. Speaking of University of Maryland, my buddy A.J. Francis, who was with the Patriots practice squad for the last several months, he just got picked up by the Miami Dolphins, so he's back to Miami on their active roster. So good luck to him down there. Hopefully he doesn't do too much damage in the matchup, the Dolphins and the Patriots, if he is able to play in that game in a couple of weeks. Also, other piece of news is the Patriots expected to sign tight end DJ Williams, who was waived or released by Jacksonville on November 4th. He was waived in the offseason or right before the season by Green Bay. So he spent time with the Packers and the Jaguars, was a 2011 fifth-round draft pick of Green Bay. And that means either Matthew Mulligan is going to get the boot, be released, be cut, or Michael Omanawanui to the IR. We're assuming you're bringing in a tight end. You might have to be dropping a tight end. Obviously, another move could be made, but you tend to think my inclination would be that Omanawanui is hurt, more hurt than than we know, or just he is hurt to the point where he will not be able to play the rest of the season, go on the injured reserve. So the Patriots look to be signing tight end DJ Williams to the active roster. Webradio at patriots.com or 1-800. No, that's not the number. 855-PATS-500. I'll get it at some point, is the number to call in to Patriots Playbook. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline, and the Patriots will play the Texans on Sunday down in Houston. 8-3 Patriots, the 2-9 Texans. And again, that's still just doesn't sound right. 2-9 Texans. Do you think the Patriots are going to go down there and have their way with Houston on Sunday? I mean, I don't know if it would, I don't think it would shock me if the Texans stayed involved for a little while, at least for a pride's sake, going back to what happened last year. But they've obviously had a lot of their problems. They lost 13-6 to Jacksonville this past Sunday. So that is the Texans probably coming off the biggest load that they could potentially have or have all year into the game Sunday against the Patriots. So we'll see how things shake out then. And it's still a nitpick Tuesday, so if you have any more nitpicks from the Broncos game, you have about 15 minutes to get those in. Also, my question that Drew answered, is there any other coach in the NFL that makes the decision that Bill Belichick did on Sunday just to take the wind and give up the ball to start overtime? Are there any other coaches who, you know, have a resume or just have the status or have the confidence in themselves, in their decision or in their team, in order to make that type of decision where if Manning just went down the field and the Broncos scored a touchdown, I mean, I couldn't imagine what sports talk radio would have sounded like yesterday if the Broncos had won that game on the first possession. It probably would have sounded like the Patriots were like the worst team in the NFL, that they were 0-10 or something. That's probably how most callers would sound. That they would be freaking out. And I'm sure there are still some people who have called in that don't agree with what Belichick did, but they say, hey, it worked out. So, obviously, when it works out, the decision doesn't look, as bad. It doesn't look bad, obviously, at all. To me, it made perfect sense. I understood it. I was still shocked by it. But it just goes back to me saying that Belichick just had enough confidence in his defense and just enough confidence in his decision to not so much play a hunch, but play the averages, the odds, that with those wins, it's going to be tough for Manning to just throw deep down the field and quickly get into, touchdown scoring range. Broncos were working their way into field goal range, and then the defense stood up and made the plays necessary across the 50-yard line. Ball went back and forth a couple of times, and then, again, the Patriots were punting with the help of the wind, so it's hard to know how much the ball getting up in the air and the wind affected Wes Welker looking up into the sky. And this is more of me just spitballing, but Welker looking up and the wind is whipping right in his face, and maybe he lost track of the football for a brief second. It was like, I'm going to go get it. No, wait, and I'm going to let it bounce, and it bounces off a teammate. Patriots recover, set it up for an easy field goal, and the Patriots win that game. So in the end, Belichick's decision looks like a genius type of decision. And again, I don't think many coaches make that call there at the end of the game. So webradio at patriots.com, 855-PATS-500, as we're winding things down.
I'm really into solving the world's problems.
If he just goes with his gut instinct, he might be able to solve a few problems. I mean, he made the right decision there. And again, I think Kevin's punching up something else now. What else you got? Nothing else? All right. So the Patriots and Texans this Sunday. So, Kevin, I was talking to you off the air about the potential what other coaches. I want to see if you think any other coach would do what Billy did.
I think the only one you can sell me on is Andy Reid.
Is that just based on his resume with Philadelphia and what he did?
Based on his resume, I think he's a pretty solid coach. And I also think that when healthy, I mean, obviously without Tamba Ali in Houston, they're a different defense. But when healthy, that defense is arguably the best defense in the league.
Yeah, now, right. You mentioned a couple of injuries. So see how much that's going to affect them when they play Denver on Sunday. And I think it was Big Al who asked us, who as a Patriots fan, now who do you want to win the Denver-Kansas City game? And I what I said. I said Kansas City.
I'm going Kansas City as well. I think they have the greater potential to lose games past that game.
Yeah,
and I think that's what you have to look take into consideration as a Patriots fan.
And the game is in Kansas City, so you know they protect their home field. They didn't against the Chargers, but they protect their
and
home
also,
field. And then they go on the road three
Denver,
or four.
You have that head-to-head tie break in case you need it.
Right. So I think obviously the key is get the Broncos down to three losses. Kansas City has two losses right now, but as you
correct.
Said,
they've lost their last two games after winning nine in a row.
But as you said, I think it's three of the next four, three of the final four are on the road for Kansas City, so more of a chance to lose. So I think if you're going to be rooting for a team in the Denver-Kansas City game, I think you have to go with Kansas City and get the Broncos down to three losses, and that'll give the Patriots a very good chance to potentially take that number one spot. It's not as if the Patriots' schedule is a cakewalk. Texans, if I'm reading this right, Texans, Jaguars, Dolphins, Ravens, Bills.
Did you say that was the Patriots?
Yes.
That's incorrect.
Well, I'm trying
it's
to look.
The Texans, the Browns, the Dolphins.
Oh, sorry.
Ravens,
I just read it wrong. Sorry.
I wish it was the Jaguars.
It looks like Jaguars from here. Texans, Browns, Dolphins, Ravens, Bills.
And on the flip side, let's see. KC, after they host Denver here, Sudi. So if they somehow lost to Denver, that would be three losses in a row, okay? They still have to go on the road the next week to Washington. Washington's bad.
Bleh.
But Washington's still a bad team that can beat you. I don't know if they're going to have any heart left at that point, but who knows. Then they go at Oakland. I mean, again, game they should win. But again, where any road game in the NFL is no layup. They play Indy, game they could lose. And they also go to San Diego, which is another game they could lose. So they have a pretty, you know, they have a pretty tough schedule down the stretch here.
No, I don't. I think they're going to make the playoffs either
so
way.
Out of five games left, they play. You could argue three really quality teams in Denver, Indy, and San Diego.
Yeah, and it would take. They'd have to lose out to potentially miss the playoffs.
No,
though, at this
they're
going to
make the playoffs. I'm comfortable saying that, but I don't know. After a team that started off 9-0, you know, to not get the number one or two seed, would I think after starting 9-0 and you don't get the one or the two seed, that's a pretty big letdown or disappointment.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a realistic possibility that they don't get the one or the two seed.
And then that six seed right now, it's a six-way tie, 5-6. And I think right now Tennessee is the team. I don't know how it is, but Tennessee shakes out right now as the team that has the tiebreaker. It is that sixth seed. It's got to be some combination of conference record and head-to-head matchups. And
because, you know, we're talking about this seeding mess and talking about Kansas City, Denver, just kind of reaffirming my wish for Kansas City to win this game, Sudi. I don't think after this Kansas City game, Denver has a chance to lose again. They host Tennessee, who I think they will blow out. They host San Diego, which will be no picnic, but I think they win that game, and I think they win it pretty easily. They go to Houston, who's awful, and then they go to Oakland. I don't think they lose again, or they have a chance to lose again, other than like some sort of epic collapse or act of God or, you know, an injury to Manning. So this is really, in my opinion, their last chance to lose a game in the regular season.
So we're expecting, at the very least, the Broncos to finish 13-3. So from the Patriots' standpoint, they cannot lose a game if they want to take the number one seed.
It really comes down to rooting for Kansas City in this situation up here on Sunday and hoping the Patriots win out and that both teams finish with the identical record and the Patriots would have the tiebreaker with the head-to-head. That's really, I think, your best bet with Denver's soft schedule down the stretch. And I think Kansas City with some injuries and sort of falling back down to earth. And, you know, definitely a more challenging schedule than Denver. They have, you know, I think you're going to see them get the three or probably the three seed, probably not the four seed, but at least the three seed.
And the thing I try to think about and try to gauge it is whether the Patriots, Broncos, the home field. I mean, I know it matters. It always matters, but
it's a little less. It matters a little less that, you know, they're both cold weather outdoor climates.
Yeah.
So I think that Peyton Manning in either climate, and we saw it when Baltimore went in there and beat him last year, and Baltimore beat him in a shootout, which a lot of people didn't think was possible. But it doesn't really matter whether it's there or here. if it's cold and windy in either place, I think you see a different Peyton Manning than we're used to seeing, and I think you see a more heavy reliance on the ground game.
And it's not as if the Patriots have been, you know, a lock to win at home. I mean, we can obviously go back to last year and say they lost the AFC Championship game at home to Baltimore.
So lost to the Cardinals at home.
Right, that's all. That's a good point. But it's not so much that it is a lock for the Patriots to win at home. Sometimes you say going on the road is actually less pressure because maybe you're not expected to win. I don't know how much that probably doesn't affect Tom Brady one bit. He could probably play in a driveway and just it's whatever. It's the same to him.
I can tell you this though. You know, talking about teams on the road not expecting to win. I can say with, you know, some a good amount of certainty that Baltimore was not expected to win that game in Denver last year.
Oh, well, yeah.
And I was one of the few people that, you know, when we were doing our predictions during the week that actually picked Baltimore to win and based my whole prediction off of what Peyton does in the cold and in the wind. And I even went into detail about his ducks and how I thought he could easily, like, you know, we could see probably a strip sack or a sloppy ball handling play in a pick or two, and sure enough, that's what happens, and Baltimore ends up winning.
Speaking of Baltimore, I mean, out of the teams that are tied for that final playoff spot, they're kind of like the Giants, how the Giants have been. I don't think the Giants are going to end up making it this year, just maybe a little too far back, but they seem to strike me as that they'll put enough together, and they'll sneak in, get that sixth spot. And I was, even earlier this weekend, I was kind of convinced that it'll end up being Baltimore and New England in the wild card round. But now, obviously, how things have fallen. You beat the Broncos and the Colts have lost. Now the Patriots, obviously, are kind of in position for a bye. I guess it is possible the Patriots and Ravens could meet again in the divisional round. Obviously, they're meeting up in a couple of weeks. I think from here on out, playing the Ravens anywhere would just kind of gives me a bad feeling. Scares me. I know it's a different team over, you know, from last year a little bit, but something about the Ravens just kind of doesn't. Maybe it's just the Raven. Something about the Raven. I just don't. Doesn't sit well with me. And you think I would have no problem with that being such a Maryland guy? That I'd be in, you know, into Baltimore. But if I'm gonna if there's any other NFL if there is any other NFL team that I would put any allegiance to whatsoever, just by basis of friends, it would be the Redskins. Mostly just because I feel bad for them.
And they're just not a threat.
Yeah, I just feel bad for
NFC team.
3/4 of my college friends are Redskins fans, and they just hate life. And not only that, combine that with some of our alma mater's troubles on the football field and in sports in general. They have just no sports success whatsoever. The Wizards, yeah. So I always get texts and emails saying, hey, you know, you may be a Terrapin, and things might not be too good for the sports, but at least you got Boston. And I always have to shake my head and say, yeah, you're right. At least I have Boston.
By the way, while you're tooting your horn about Maryland, my boy Andre Williams straight up toasted your boys on Saturday.
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't watch that. We have like a couple minutes left. I can go off on the biggest rant about that, but I don't think our listeners care about the Maryland-BC
Heisman,
game.
Baby.
I don't argue with that, but God, the end of that game was just absolutely ridiculous. I'll just say Maryland in themselves. If that's even a word, a sentence. Let's not get into that. I have an email on webradio@patriots.com, so I think I'll get to that from Nicholas. Says, I don't know about you guys, but I feel bad for Ridley. You can tell that when he fumbles, he really feels bad about it. Should we give up on him or keep giving him chances? When do you say enough is enough? Nitpick I would have to do is the fumbles, but it's understandable because it was cold. Have a good day. I mean, I did say the point of, you know, it's gotta be harder to hold on to football when it's 20 degrees outside, and obviously it is. But on the flip side, they are NFL football players who are making millions of dollars. Squeeze the ball. It's your job. Okay. There's that. With Ridley, he definitely feels bad about it. And I think it's been noted that he's hard on himself. I know Shane Vereen is on the radio all the time, has a weekly spot on one of the stations. And he has said that Ridley is very hard on himself, that You know, he knows what he's doing wrong. It's not as if he's fumbling the football. I think most guys, when they make a mistake, they realize and they don't just blow it off. He's taking it hard. As I've said before, I don't think you give up on him. It would just be stupid just to bench him and just say you're not playing the rest of the year when we've seen how he can play if healthy and if holding on to the football, how well he can play. So I think you have to give him a chance, whether it's in mop-up duty this coming Sunday, or maybe you just put him back out in the same role, and if he continues to screw up, then you go from there. But the fumbles are happening in the wrong situation. It's one thing to fumble when it's 17-0 in the middle of the fourth quarter, and you fumble at the opponent's 40-yard line. Sure, you give them the ball in pretty good field position, but you're up 17-0. It's the fourth quarter. If you lose that game, it's not going to be because of that one fumble. But starting off a game, driving against the Broncos in a game that you need to win, if you want to pick up a bye, maybe the number one seed in the AFC, and you're driving and you're getting close to scoring at least a field goal, and that's when you fumble, and it turns into a 60-yard fumble return for a touchdown. They're both fumbles. They both go as one fumble lost, but obviously the magnitude of one is a lot. It has a lot more effect on the outcome of the game. So that's kind of what's happening with Ridley and the fumbles. I mean, I believe it was last week the PFW guys had brought up a number that his fumbles per carry weren't really that, like, ridiculous, weren't that out of the ordinary. They weren't that high. So it's just a point that it stands out when it happens. When there's a 60-yard fumble return for a touchdown, it stands out. You remember that. But if the guy fumbles in the middle of the fourth quarter in a 20-0 game and it does nothing to the game, you don't tend to think about that. And again, that was the Tony Romo comparison, that excellent fantasy quarterback, puts up all the numbers. He might throw one interception in a game, but it'll be at the worst possible time, and that's what you'll remember. Your fantasy day won't be ruined, but if you're a Cowboys fan, your life is ruined. It happens a lot. Although they just beat the Giants, so that they have that to hang their hats on. So that's just about going to wrap things up for Patriots Playbook here on a Nitpick Tuesday. Thank you to all the callers, all the emailers, and, of course, to producer behind the glass, Kevin Collins, for guiding me
that
through.
That went really quick.
It went very quick.
I couldn't believe you just started to wrap it up, and I was looking around thinking, what the heck time
is? Oh, we have another hour? Oh, okay. No.
We actually have fantasy football chance.
Yep, there's already
the gentleman from Football Nation, Todd DeVries and Bill Enright.
There's already an email waiting for some fantasy football wide receiver help. So hopefully they'll be able to answer that for Craig, who has his email waiting.
By the way, just before we go, did you agree or disagree with the timeout to freeze the kicker? The BC kicker.
Oh, geez.
Just curious. I just want to delve back into your brain for a minute.
I don't.
For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, it was a tie game, 26-26, in Maryland on Saturday night. Boston College lining up for a field goal.
52-yarder.
And Maryland called timeout right before the kick, and the kick was missed. And then the kid came back out and drilled it to win the game. In terms of you nitpicking Mr. Randy Etzel, who I was never a fan of.
Okay, I think if you're going to call the timeout in quote-unquote ice the kicker.
That's what he was doing, right?
Right, right. Call it before they're going to snap the ball, please.
Okay. So he doesn't get a free practice.
Exactly. The guy got a free practice kick. He missed it wide left. He goes, okay, well, on this one, I think I'll make sure I push it to the right.
Yeah, and
guess what? He pushed it to the right, and it was inside the far post by about 5 yards.
Yeah,
it was perfect.
And it was a, less than optimal conditions. It was a cold day, a little blustery.
It was very, very cold day.
So
he had the wind with him.
But he got a chance, what you're saying, is to kind of figure out the wind by the first one, adjust, and then
exactly.
Re-kick. Okay.
So I don't mind the timeout. If he had called the timeout 10 seconds earlier before the ball is about to be snapped,
okay,
and this ball never gets snapped, then fine. He gets to think about it for an extra 30 seconds to a minute. I still don't think that mattered, would have mattered there at all. But as you said, Kevin, he got a chance to see where the kick went, saw how the wind affected it, changed it. BC won. I fell to the floor, crying hysteric.
Maryland's still going to go bowling this year.
Whatever. They're 6-5.
It's okay.
I stood up and I went, I'm not shocked.
There was a period of time, correct me if I'm wrong, where they were ranked.
They were ranked for 1 week. They were 4-0, had a bye. Oof. They got ranked going into the Florida State game, number 25, and they lost
63-0. Yeah, I remember that.
And that is Maryland football for
you. Crab cakes and football, baby.
That's what Maryland does. All right. Talk to you again real soon. Scott Sudikoff signing off here. Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2. Yeah.